Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We've talked about this extensively regarding ISIS, ISIL, some of the things that have been occurring, you know, around the world. Some of the, of course, the reports of a radical jihadist, yeah, and some of the things that have happened, you know, we just didn't get here. And that's right. The important thing to remember, because a lot of times we arrive to a place, we hear news that's going on. It's amazing how the news cycle dominates a certain topic for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then they're on to the next thing. But when people listen for a week and a half, they just think, well, oh, did this just happen? Is this just new? And things tend to build on the last season, on the last thing that's been going on. And for quite some time, we've been sharing and alerting and been expressing some concern for what has been happening with radical Islam, and making a just looking at the comparison. I mean, we have all this available for you on the Torch, and we'll actually make sure that's related to this post. But we've actually put the Quran and the Bible side by side. I mean, these are books that are complete opposites, and we're looking at what radical Islam has been able to do in terms of the persecution of women. And women are treated as property. In fact, we just shared not too long ago how Secretary of State John Kerry was just saying, listen, look what radical Islam does to women. Mm-hmm. And how could anyone be sympathetic, you know, to any type of jihadist movement? And we're seeing them more embracing, more bold. We've seen attacks now on in Canada. We've seen several beheadings that have occurred of journalists in the Middle East. We've seen what happened to Christians and the Kurds on Sinjar Mountain, where many of them were driven from their homes. We've seen over 100,000 people killed during this Syrian civil war conflict. We've seen what Hamas has been able to do to Israel. Reportedly, the Muslim militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood, and launching since 2005 over 10,000 rockets, and then not only that, but putting children near their own rocket launchers, putting children and family and women in harm's way. And so there is a history, if you will. This just didn't happen yesterday, but there's one man, a Dutch parliament member. His name is Geert Wilders. And he's been also on this front for about 10 years, so much so that there's been several assassination attempts, my understanding, where him and his family have been gone, you know, into hiding. And this has been going on for 10 years. He wrote a book called Marked for Death. They are trying to kill him. Mm-hmm. And it's something that he is willing to say, hey, you know, I cannot remain silent. And he is willing to be able to give his life. Doesn't certainly want to lose his life, but he's willing to give his life to be able to expose what radical Islam has done and is doing. He's being interviewed by Dale Hurd, and we want you to listen to this interview as you hear a little bit about his story and some of the stuff that he's been able to do and persevere in his quest to be able to expose some of the horrible things that have occurred through radical Islam and jihadists. Watch this.
He is one of the most controversial figures in the world, hated by millions, marked for death. He is Dutch parliament member Geert Wilders. Wilders believes the religion of Islam is violent and dangerous, and because he has said so publicly and persistently, he has given up a normal life. It was 10 years ago this month that Wilders began living under police protection. It began after the murder of Theo van Gogh, who made a film attacking Islam. Dutch police believed Wilders might be the next victim and showed up at his door.
And they were wearing machine guns and bulletproof vests. I said, hey, what is happening? And he said, well, we don't know what is happening, but you have to leave now in 3 minutes. So I could just take some shirts and went away, and we didn't know where we went, where we would go. The police didn't even know. We changed cars and we ended up in an army barrack. And since then, 10 years ago, I have not been home. It's something that, well, you don't wish your worst enemy to experience. It's not only the threats, but it's the fact that you lose your freedom and your privacy. My wife and I lived for a few months in a prison cell in Zeist, where the Lockerbie suspects used to be imprisoned. Nowadays, we have safe houses. I live in a safe house from the state.
Do you ever wonder if you made a mistake? Has this been worth it?
Well, I'm sure I did make no mistake. I make mistakes every day. I'm just human, so I'm full of mistakes. But to speak the truth about Islam, as I see it, and as the reality is not a mistake. I wish many people did it. I understand why few people do it, because the price is very high. Besides the death threats that you get from average people, from Islamic descent, from organizations like Al-Qaeda or the Taliban, you also, a lot of people label you as a bigot or a racist or an extremist. They try to hurt you in any possible way. You are sued, like I have been and will be again, by a criminal court or by another court. They will sue you, they will threaten you, they will label you. So I understand it's not very attractive to speak out against the dark forces of Islam, to be proud of our own values and identity that I believe are based on Christianity and Judaism and humanism, not about Islam. And you pay very high price. So I understand that people don't do it, but people should do it. And what is happening with the Islamic State nowadays in the last few months has opened the eyes of so many people. So I hope it will change.
You can't think of doing anything else. You never wished you had done something else to have a normal life.
I wish I had a normal life, yes. I would be lying to you if I would say that that is my most important wish, to lead a normal life. But even more important than that is to fight Islam, to fight for our freedom, the freedom of our society, to be proud on who we are. And I really strongly believe that Islam is dangerous. Islam is violent. Islam wants to dominate, not assimilate in our societies. And our countries, our free societies will change. And Christians, Jews, apostates, we will be the first one to pay a price if Islam will get its way in our free societies.
Is it unnecessary provocation for you to say Muhammad is a criminal, the Quran is poison, Islam is a lie?
Well, how can the truth be something you are not allowed to say? I mean, look what is happening today in the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq. I mean, they are copying the life of Muhammad. As you know, Muhammad, 1400 years ago, when he went from Mecca to Medina, he did exactly the things that the Muslims from the Islamic State are doing today. They are beheading people, Americans, UK citizens, according to what is written down in the Quran, Surah 47, verse 4, whenever you meet the unbeliever, smite their necks until you have a bloodbath among them. They are living according to the rules of Sharia law, of the life of Muhammad, the Hadith, of the Quran. And it's not pretty. They have declared war on us, on the United States, on Canada, on Holland, on Europe. And we should see it as a war. How unfortunate it is, they declared war on us. So to speak the truth is something as a duty for me to do and show people what the real face of Islam is. And let me tell you that all those political leaders around the world, my own prime minister, Mr. Rutte, the prime minister of the United Kingdom, Mr. Cameron, but also your own president, I have to say, Mr. Obama, is really fooling the people by saying after every atrocity, after every beheading, that it has nothing to do with Islam. It is Islam. It's the core business of Islam. And we should be able to get rid of the political correctness and see it for what it is. And that's a violent, dangerous ideology that we are importing in our free societies. So we have to stand up and fight against it. And, well, I see it as a mission. It's my personal mission. And whether you're a judge, a court, a Muslim who wants to threaten me, or a politician from another party, I would rather die than not be able to speak freely.
Speaking of dying, some don't believe you'll die a natural death, that sooner or later terrorists will get to you, and they're planning to kill you at some point in the future.
Yes. Yes. You know, it's better not to think about that every day, about the threats and what could happen to me or my family. It would be impossible to live by. So I don't, but you are right. It can happen. It can happen.
Are you willing to spend the rest of your life in police protection?
If it has to be like that, then I will have no choice. It's better to have police protection than to be dead.
Well, there you have it. That's you're listening to Geert Wilders. He's a Dutch Parliament member, and he's just sharing his mind and sharing his heart. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was some of the things that he said is I understand why people don't do it. Mm-hmm. And he's referring to speaking out. And the reason they don't do it, he says, because the cost is high.
Very high.
It's high. And not many people are willing to pay the cost. And, you know, it's time. He says to speak the truth is a duty. That should be everyone's duty.
Right.
To be able to speak the truth. And we here in America have that right. We have the freedom to be able to express ourselves without any kind of fear of retribution or revenge or anything to come back upon us. You have the freedom of speech. And we should be able to articulate and be able to express any type of concern that any American has regarding what's happening. And, you know, we've talked about this extensively. It's things that we need to be concerned about, not fearful about, but definitely concerned. Mm-hmm. And one of which that we should be absolutely prayerful about in the church. ISIS and ISIL and radical jihadists are not going away. You know, upon some reports, there's 1.2, 1.8 billion Muslims. Not all of them are radical Islam. What some reports are, according to Bridget Gabriel, is that 15% of them, which is approximately 300 million of them, are radicalized. Well, that's the population of the United States. And so it's time for us to continue to be vigilant in our prayers. And don't forget that it's against the Jews first and then the Christians. It's JJ. And just because there is a quietness in the air, it's an eerie quiet, keep your eyes focused on Israel, keep your heart prayerful, and remain watchmen on the wall.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.